Hi friends, welcome to lesson number 7 on our Revelation course. Let me begin, as I always do, by encouraging you to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And as we talk about these things, as we talk about getting revelation from the Lord, I encourage you to ask God for revelation. Think about some of the areas of your life. Maybe you feel like you've hit a roadblock or an impasse. And instead of being frustrated by that, rather ask the Lord to do something in you, to open those eyes of your understanding, to show you great and mighty things that you know not. Good. Well, hey, in today's lesson, we're going to talk about revelation and honor. And I don't know if you've ever thought much about honor. Honor is a word we rarely hear, I would say, certainly in America where I live. In England, when we maybe go before a judge, I went to a court case, not mine, but as a witness in one last year. And in England, when you go before a judge, you literally address the judge as your worship or your honor. And you could be put in jail if you didn't, as contempt of court. And the point is you're giving honor to that person. God, honor is a really big thing with God. It's really important that we honor God. There's a principle principle that's baked into, is it the second commandment? Or it's the first commandment with promise, Jesus says. Jesus, honor your father and mother. What will happen? It will go well with you and you'll live a long life. So the principle is this: honor releases favor and life. Let me say that again. Honor releases favor and life. And one of the greatest challenges, I would say, in society is, well, we spend billions of dollars social programs trying to help people. One of the things is when children dishonor their parents, they live a life without favor. That means everything breaks. That means things go wrong. That means they are struggling. And life becomes a hardship. Life is not working for them, it's working against them. And honor is a really big thing. Good. So I want to read two passages today. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's to the glory or the honor, truly the same word. It's to the glory of God to conceal a matter. And the rest of the verse says, but it's to the glory of kings to search out a matter. So, simple verse, but let's just unpack this for a few minutes, and then we're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 as well. The writer here, I believe this one's Solomon, but he says, it's to God's glory. God is glorified when he conceals something, when he hides something. So in a way, God's honor, God's glory is to conceal something, mysteries. And yet our honor, the glory of kings, we are kings and priests unto God. He is the King of kings. Yeah? He's the King of kings, we're the kings. Yeah, and it's to the glory of kings to search out a matter. If you're underlining things in your Bible as I do, I would underline that phrase, search out a matter. I want to link that with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages, and probably quote this without even looking at it. But 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now I'm going to carry on reading, but let me say this. Many of us have heard that verse and we've related it to, God's prepared all these wonderful things in heaven that eye hasn't seen, we haven't even thought of, and one day when we die and go to heaven, we'll see all of these glorious things and go, whoa, wasn't that glorious? I'm not trying to be facetious there, but in the church I grew up in, it felt as a kid that every week somebody would pray this verse in a prayer, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither. And it always ended up like, one day it'll all be worth it. One day when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And that's all true, but it's actually nothing to do with what this verse says. This verse says, eye hasn't seen, Paul's quoting Isaiah here, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. And verse 10, Paul comes in, bang, he says, but God has. I learned this in the King James back in the 80s, so it said God hath. I actually like the word hath sometimes because there's this finality, this sense of it, like the French would call it the past historic. God hath. It has been done. It's finished. It's accomplished. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. We haven't perceived or comprehended the things that God has for us. And then it says, but God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. Let me carry on reading. Next verse says, for the Spirit of God, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Again, I want to keep reading, but link that back with Proverbs. It's to the glory of kings to search out a matter. Search out a matter. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Again, so much in this passage, guys. Paul's talking and he says, man hasn't comprehended in the depths of his heart the things that God has, but the Spirit of God has revealed them unto us. And the Spirit of God searches the deep things of the heart of God. And then he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now verse 12 says, we have not received the Spirit in the world, we've received the Spirit which is of God. Why, Paul? That we might know, that we might comprehend, the Greek word is euneska, we might have intimate knowledge of the things that have been freely given unto us of God. These things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He who is spiritual judges, or if discerns all things, yet he himself is rightly judged or discerned of no man. Who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Question mark. And then Paul ends this passage in verse 16 and he says, we have, not going to have, we have the mind of Christ. Again, there's so much in this, but I want to just unpack this, at least the principles of it for you quickly. There are incredible, amazing things that God has prepared for who? Verse 9 tells us, for those who love God. God has prepared those things, and they are things that we'll experience all throughout eternity. Amen. But you can experience the things of heaven today, on a Wednesday, as I'm recording this anyway. You can experience those exceeding great and glorious things right now. Truth number one. Number two, how do we get them? God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You say, Graham, I don't know them. God hasn't revealed them to me. Actually, he has. What faith does is faith takes the past tense of the Word of God and stands on it. And Holy Spirit then brings you into the experience of that thing. If that sounds complicated, replay that or let me unpack it for a minute. We come to God's Word. God's Word shows us what God hath. We're just going to stay with half today. God's word shows us what God has done. What faith does, faith comes and faith says, this is not actually yet my telt, smelt, you know, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, experience, but I will believe it's true at your word. And faith then believes God is watching over his word to perform it. So we come to the Lord and God says, I've already forgiven your sins. I have paid for your salvation. Believe the gospel. And as we believe it, we're brought into a salvation experience. We can come to the Lord with pain in our body and believe when he says, I am your healer. I've still got the pain in my body. He says, by my stripes, you were healed. We take him at his word and God watches over his word to perform it. Yeah. The angel brings Mary a word and says, you're going to have a baby. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. Mary says, well, I don't feel pregnant. Be it unto me according to your word. And then the power of the Almighty overshadows her. So there's something we have to do here with our faith, where we need to believe by faith, even without the experience, which is what faith is, the evidence of things not seen, that God is revealing things to us through his Spirit. And that I want you to see that picture. The Spirit of God searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. You see that? Holy Spirit has access to all of the wisdom, all of the treasures. Holy Spirit knows everything. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He knows everything. Yeah? And it says in verse 12, we have received the Spirit of God that we might know the things which have been, not are going to be, not are in process, which have been given to us of God. I really want to say this again so you get that, guys. The reason you have been baptized in Holy Spirit is not that you'd feel a goosebump, that you'd speak in tongues and prophesy, and all those things are great, but those are actually, they're not primarily for you, they're more through you to others, most of those gifts. The primary reason you've been filled with Holy Spirit is that you would know, and again, the word know means to intimately know. It's the same word Jesus used when he said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's the same word that I believe Matthew used when he said, Joseph did not know his wife Mary. It means a little bit more than reading in a book. It means intimate experiential knowledge of. We've received the Spirit of God that we might know the things which have been freely given to us of God, which have already been given to us of God. So God hides things in his glory. And the Lord says, you will step into the experience of my honor, my glory, when you search out a matter. Again, the problem for us kind of Protestant evangelicals is we think that means getting a concordance and a Greek lexicon and trying to puzzle things out and work things out, rather than saying, Holy Spirit, would you reveal that to me? Holy Spirit, by faith, I believe that you are revealing these things to me. How do we do that? Paul actually tells us as he goes through this passage. He says, these things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teach, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. You know, we pray in the Spirit when we pray in tongues. But there's also a prayer in the Spirit when we're praying the Word of God, when we're praying inspired by the Spirit. And when we will take the things that God says in his Word, even when we don't yet fully get them, even when they're information and not revelation, if we'll take those things and pray them, that illuminating of the Spirit will come. It says, these things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, when you get truth in your mind, what you're really doing is getting truth in your soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions are part of the soul. To get revelation, it's to get truth in the spirit man. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So God wants to give us truth in our spirit. It's possible for Holy Spirit to give you a revelation of something, and you don't even yet know with your mind quite what that means and quite what that, how that works out. You said, Graham, show me an example. I'm glad you asked. Come on. Do you know, when you got born again, you did not understand the book of Romans. When you got born again, you didn't understand salvation, sanctification, justification, propitiation, glorification, all these things. When you got born again, you simply believed something. You acted upon it, and God birthed that revelation. You were born again. That new creation happened in your spirit, not in your mind. Now, hopefully, as you've grown, you've learned to read the book of Romans and understand what God did. It says in Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It doesn't say we understand our way into faith. It says we faith our way into understanding. By faith we understand. You get saved and the knowledge of salvation comes, and you get revelation. And then you go and study out and tease out, if you will, and understand the revelation you got. Paul speaks about that in Galatians, where Jesus revealed himself to Paul. And then Paul went to the scriptures and understood what had happened to him. And then Paul even went to the apostles in Jerusalem and submitted his revelation, if you will, to them and said, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be crazy here. You're imagining something. Is this right? Is this true? Is it biblical what I've actually experienced? So he says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the foolishness unto him. Now, we're nearly out of time here, but I want you to get that. That's true of the people out there in the world who receive not the things of the Spirit of God. But it's actually true to a part of us. There is a natural part of you. I think what Paul's actually saying here is, the things of God, the revelations of God, he says in verse 14, they're spiritually discerned. You don't, there's a learning you can do. You study and show yourself approved. Amen to that. We all need to do that. But there is a revelation of the Spirit that has to take place. There's a discerning of the things of God that comes through Holy Spirit. Now, of course, the key is unless we do the learning, unless we put the time in studying and reading God's word, we don't get much of that revelation. So the key to stepping into the mind of Christ, and I'll finish with that today, is to, come on, spend time with the Word of God, but speak, pray in the Spirit, look over those things, allow God to give you in your, through the Spirit, the mind of Christ in your natural mind. I'm worried I've confused some folks here, but come on, let me end with this today, though. God is not against you having glory in your life. God is not against you being honored. God wants you to be honored. He just doesn't want you to honor yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. James puts it this way. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, God will lift you up. So God is not against you being lifted up. He's just against you lifting yourself up. And God wants to put honor in our life. Not the honor that we try to manufacture, the kind of Instagram honor where I'm so great, look at me, look at me, look at me. But rather the honor that comes because he's birthed truths within us and that we walk in those mysteries. And the things eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, we see them right now. We experience them right now. Boom. We're going to carry on with another lesson tomorrow. I encourage you to go back. There's some deep things in this lesson today. And again, read through those notes, confess that proclamation, and engage with some of those questions. I believe they'll help you as you grow in these subjects. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye for now.